Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. Welcome back to Wonderland on Points, everybody. We are so glad that you are joining us today. I am actually recording remotely for the very first time. Well, maybe not the first time, but the first time in a hotel. I am up in Minneapolis in a Hyatt House hotel, and that is why my sound sounds a little funny. I have my normal microphone, but it sounds totally different in this hotel.
It does. It's got a little bit of an echo to it, but that's okay. We like the ambiance, and you know, I'll fix it if I can on the back end. But this is the real deal, guys. You know that this is something that we fit into our busy, busy lives because we love you. So sometimes we just are carting our setup somewhere else and making sure that you guys have your episodes.
Yeah, this is actually an interesting trip. So I'm up in Minnesota. I polled some people online and got some ideas for things to do here. I am just solo with my girls. So this is a girls trip. People, longtime listeners of the show may remember I came last year as well to the Minnesota Vikings have a youth junior cheerleader program.
So where cute.
It is so cute. They have camp all week, so they go and they learn a dance with the Vikings cheerleaders, and then at the preseason game, they actually get to perform down on the field. So we are in full-on Vikings world, and I absolutely love it.
You did something for this hotel stay that was a little bit unconventional, didn't you?
It's true. So I am in a Hyatt House property. And I, through looking on their website, realized that this property has kitchen suites. Ooh. Now, I am here for a whole week with my girls. We are trying, this is the end of the summer. I can tell you that my paycheck from the school where I teach nursing students has run out. Mm-hmm. I do not get paid this month. And so I'm like, we want to do this fun, special trip, but we really need to make it as affordable as possible. So what I did is I had, and people are not going to like this, this is way outside the box, but this is the life of a budget traveler. Mm. I used a suite upgrade award for this Hyatt House property because I wanted to book the lowest cost room with points, which I did, a standard room. But I did want to make sure we were in a kitchen suite because I knew that it would save me so much money to be able to cook a box of macaroni and have a fridge that had some fresh fruit and some milk, and just to be able to have a full-size microwave in the room.
Yeah.
Saves us from multiple meals that I would have purchased otherwise. So I know it sounds crazy to use a suite upgrade award at a property that is not tropical getaway at some resort, but I didn't have one of those stays coming up and I had the suite upgrade award and I thought, this is really going to save me money.
Yeah, you don't want to spend the massive amount of points extra that it would have cost to just book that room on points. You want to save your points for a nicer property because ultimately that's going to actually give you more value. So I think this is the perfect place to use the suite. I think that was genius. The food costs for three people for a week is a lot.
Oh my goodness. I mean, it really is. Even at, you know, McDonald's, it's approaching $30 for the three of us. You know, if it was some sit-down restaurant, it would be $50. You know, it really adds up. It also is nice to have more than one room. So right now I'm recording this podcast from the hotel, but there is a door that closes so that my kiddos can watch TV in the room attached to me, but I have two rooms. So being also stuck in a room, stuck in a room. I don't use that word lightly. It really is. Being stuck in a room with your children all week long, you need a little more space, a little more space. So
genius.
I am thrilled to have used the Sweet Upgrade Award. I am loving Minnesota. I found the coolest playground in the world, the Woodhaven Playground in Eagan, Minnesota. You guys, if you are there in Minneapolis area, that is an incredible playground. I'm going to post a whole reel from it. So you guys look on at Family Travel for the win. You will love it.
Okay, so one last thing before we get to our amazing episode today that I'm very excited for you guys to hear. On your way to Minnesota, you finally got to use the thing that you were hoping to use on your European flight, but it arrived 20 minutes too late for you to take it with you.
20 minutes, come on.
But it seems like you are completely obsessed. And now, even though it's 90 degrees outside, I want one too. Tell our listeners about this magic.
Yes. So Comfort brand hoodies, if you haven't already been getting them on your social media feeds, you probably will now after listening to this episode because phones scare everything. But they have a couple travel hoodies. So they have an airplane mode hoodie, which definitely went viral. It has the eye mask like attached to the hood of the hoodie that you can tuck back or bring down. And then they also have a travel essentials hoodie. And I made a YouTube video over on the Wonderland on Points YouTube page. You can compare and contrast the two. Right now, the airplane mode hoodie is actually out of stock, but you can order any of the colors and they will arrive in November. So just about the time that it's actually cold enough that you need a hoodie, you will have it. And it's plenty of time, early enough for the holidays if you're shopping for like a travel lover in your life. I thankfully was able to snag one of those before they went out of stock, and I got the Travel Essentials hoodie. So I got both types of travel hoodies. And so on this trip, I wore the Travel Essentials hoodie, and I gave my daughter my airplane mode hoodie because realistically, she has a much better shot than me of sleeping on an airplane.
I
was like, you can have the eye mask, whatever. I'll take the other one. I put my AirPods in the side pocket. I didn't even bring a purse on this trip because in the pouch of the hoodie is a whole pocket that zips up on the side of the hoodie. There's another pocket that zips up. So I was able to put my driver's license, even my car keys that we need for when we get home in that side pocket, zip it up. You can't even see that pocket when you're wearing the hoodie. It's incredible.
I love this because I'm that person who stuffs everything in the airplane seat in front of me in the little pocket and then like panic checks it 45 times before we get off the flight because I think I've left something in there. And I am also the person who, if I bring a crossbody, is like trying to stuff my crossbody inside my other bag when the Southwest agent is like, sorry, you, even your crossbody has to be combined into your personal item, only two items each. And so this is just a game changer. It allows you to put all of the things that you actually need right on your person, but they're not bulky and obvious. And I think it's super genius. It looks so cozy. I want one really, really bad. And guys, we have a code for you.
Yes. So we have a link. It's not so much a code that you put in, but it's a link that gets 15% off. And that 15% off is off the whatever like sale price you see on the website. So we'll put it in our show notes. It does give us a small commission and you get 15% off. So if you want to try it out, get them because there is nothing better in this world, let's be honest, that they really have the perfect name brand for this. I mean, they picked it right. Comfort without the O. So it's like C-O-M-F-R-T.
Right.
And it really is. Nothing is more comfortable than a hoodie. I mean, let's be honest. It's the greatest piece of clothing there is.
No, I agree. I've recently been inventorying my basement after a flood and I have way too many hoodies, guys. But let me tell you that none of them have compartments for all of my things. So I clearly need another one. Okay.
Yeah, if you're going to have a hoodie, let it be functional. That's what I say. That's what I always say. Let it be functional.
Is that what you always say?
No. All right. No.
Okay, guys. Well, before we get any more unhinged over here, we are really, really excited to let you listen to our interview with Elizabeth today. We are going to be going into the fascinating rankings of the hotel rewards programs for this year that we teased a little bit. So without further ado, here is our interview with Elizabeth. We are really, really excited to have Elizabeth von Tersch with us today. She is the senior travel editor at US News, and we are so excited to have you with us today because we are going to dig into the ratings that we teased a little bit in a mini episode a few weeks ago. Guys, we're talking best hotel rewards programs, and Elizabeth is here to walk us through that entire thing. So Elizabeth, welcome. Thank you for being here. Tell us a little bit about you and how you got to where you are now with the Points and Miles world.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here. So as you mentioned, I'm a senior travel editor with US News. I have been there for about 3 years and leading their best hotel and airline rewards program rankings. So that was really the start, kind of the start of my journey into the points world, into a more definitive points world. Before that, I traveled a ton with Forbes Travel Guide. I worked there for 11 years for doing everything from editing to doing incognito hotel inspections for them. So traveled a lot, but honestly didn't get too into the points at that time. So I'm glad I found it now over the last 2 years. As you know, you can really get a lot of value from it.
Oh, 100%. Once you start, you can't ever go back. So tell our listeners a little bit about your structure of the people that you travel with. How much are you utilizing points and miles for family travel versus work travel? And then maybe some destinations that you visited thanks to award travel.
Yeah, absolutely. So primarily, you know, when I travel for work, it's usually by myself. But where I really use my points is with my family. So I have 3 boys. They're all pretty young. So travel is always an adventure with us. But that's when I really use my points for the most. So you all know how flights can really add up. Even if I can get 1 or 2 flights covered with points, it makes such a big difference. This winter, we are super lucky. I was able to find a great deal where I got our whole family on points to go to Quebec City. So I'm excited to, we're going there over the winter. So they're going to see the ice hotel and the toboggan and all that fun stuff. So very fun. One of my very favorite traditions that started because of miles is that whenever each of my kids turns 3, I take them on a solo trip with just me. So it started with my first. I had a lot of miles built up and they were burning a hole in my pocket. And I planned a last minute trip with him. And it's just been such a fun tradition to do. So good excuse to
travel. That is so crazy that you say that, because I was just talking to my husband years back. And it wasn't because I had established a tradition yet, but I took one of my daughters up to New York City to see the Rockettes over Christmas, just had a little special one-on-one trip with her. And I was thinking with my youngest now, who is 3, that I might do that again. I was like, you know what? I took Scarlett when she was little. Maybe I should take Violet now. So that's really fun. You don't hear of people doing that at such a young age. You know, a lot of times people do it once their child is a teenager. You know, they do have a time that they do it. But I love that you do it at 3. And I think I might do that too.
I think you should. And yeah, the feedback I get on that a lot is, well, he's not going to remember that trip. Why are you even doing this? And my oldest does remember, and we look at pictures all the time and have just the best memories. So I definitely still think it's worth it.
Absolutely. So and cool. Honestly, it's these memories for us, because before you know it, we blink and they're running out the door. And we want some of these core memories too. So whether or not they remember it, they are learning from it. 3-year-olds are incredibly smart. They absorb everything about the world around them. You teach them to start traveling on an airplane at 3 and to start learning new things and exploring the world really young. You are pretty much guaranteed to have a well-rounded, good member of society. In my opinion, I mean, don't come for me. You can't quote me on that. I can't make any guarantees. But I do believe that that is the effect that travel has on kids.
I was shocked when we just got back from London, Paris, Amsterdam, and my 3-year-old, we were on the beaches of Normandy. She was asking questions that made sense. She was paying attention to the tour. We went to the Anne Frank House in Amsterdam. She wanted to know everything. She asked so many questions. In the bookshop at the end, my older kids were wanting to buy a copy of Anne's diary. She also wanted a book. I was trying to mitigate cost. I was like, when we get home, when we get home. Then a week later at home, when we said time to go to the library, she said, oh, I can get an Anne Frank book. I mean, she remembered, and she remembered the story. She talks about the bookcase they used to hide. You really would be surprised by what three-year-olds absorb.
That's awesome. I love that.
Okay, so the 2025-2026 Hotel Rewards Program rankings did come out at the end of July. Let's get into it, and let's start with the methodology used to rank all the programs, and then we'll get into some of the top programs that were ranked. But first, tell us how you came to the decisions that you did.
Absolutely. So both our airline and hotel rewards rankings are really geared toward the everyday traveler, right? So we're not talking to business travelers who are traveling 2 weeks out of the month. This is really for people who are maybe taking two or three trips a year, if that. So whether they're just getting into points or looking to kind of change the program that they're loyal to, that's where our rankings are best suited. Now, the first thing, with that in mind, the first thing we look at, and the one that has the most weight in our methodology, is how quickly you can earn a free night with that hotel program. So that makes up 45% of the hotel program score. We do also consider benefits. I know everybody loves to talk about the fun perks, like early check-in, late check-out, and all of that. And then we take a look at the network size and diversity too.
Do you at all factor in like the ease of earning just the points in general? And do you factor in if there are flexible currencies that can transfer in? Or are those just kind of outside benefits that if you happen to get a program that can also have a transfer from an outside bank, that's just a cherry on top?
Yes. So we definitely look at how many ways you can earn points. And especially since we're talking to the more casual travelers, this is a really important facet just because, you know, if you're not traveling so much, you still want ways to be able to earn points, right? So we look at different ways of doing that. Trends we're seeing, we always kind of update what we're looking for there. But lately, what we've seen a lot our rideshare apps, cruises, dining. So they're getting really creative and widespread on how you can earn points through the program. Now, in terms of transferring points, we have not considered that yet, mainly because that's kind of like the next layer of complexity in the points world, right? So to keep it simple, we don't factor that in, but it is becoming a really popular thing and people are wanting to know more and more about what transferring points means. So I definitely see us using that in the future.
Absolutely. We were really fascinated when we were going through this for our mini episode a while ago. We were fascinated that it was Choice Privileges program that topped the list here. And this has been so under talked about in this community. We hear about it. Most of us that are really entrenched in this world are talking about it as a transfer partner of American Express. And that is really the only time it comes up. And we've rarely hear anybody actually taking advantage of that. But I do have to say that when this episode came out, I did start to get messages from people that were telling us like, oh, we've used this to go on a great Scandinavia trip. And here's where we used Choice. So it really seems like it is kind of the next frontier, especially as Chase Bank starts making its choices. It's not as easy for us to get points over to Hyatt anymore because it's not as easy for us to earn the Chase points anymore. It kind of seems like Choice is going to be maybe moving to the forefront a little bit in this game.
You know, as I mentioned, our methodology focuses the most on the ease of earning a free night, right? So to calculate that, my team goes through thousands of hotel rooms all in one day to make sure we toggle between points and the cash value. So we look at the earning rate there and determine how many nights it'll take you to stay with a paid stay until you get a free night. So with Choice, this is where they really shine. So Choice averaged about 9 paid nights before you earn a free night. Now, the average across all programs was 15 nights. Wow. So with Choice, you're really cutting off about a week of hotel nights before earning that free night, which is where it really shines in our methodology.
That's incredible. Another major category that weighed into the rankings was additional benefits. So a program offers, like, we love the loyalty perks around here. We really do. And you did mention that before. What are some of the choice program offerings that are so impressive? Aside from the 9 nights to earn a free one, what are some of the other things that weighed in for them in that additional benefits category?
Yes. So again, for the casual traveler, really attractive because you earn some nice perks really early on in the program. So starting at 10 nights, you're going to see early check-in, late check-out, which I know with children and families is so important to have that extra time in the hotel room to get your life together.
Yes.
And then also room upgrades too at 10 nights. So So even with more popular programs, as you mentioned, you're not seeing all three of those benefits until 25 or even 40 nights. So just being able to access those at 10 nights is a really fun option.
Yeah, that's completely incredible. One of the other smaller categories is the property diversity. And I think this is where people say choice tends to miss the mark. So let's talk about the range in their offerings. When people think of choice, the things that they will probably recognize are like Comfort Inn, Sleep Inn, and Clarion. But do we have high-end, nicer options? The way that Hyatt kind of spans that, you can go all the way up to the Park Hyatt type properties and then all the way down to the Hyatt Place. Do we have options like that in the Choice Hotels program?
Yes. So they have really, over the last few years, been building up their kind of more high-end offerings. So they added Radisson properties to their portfolio a couple years ago. Some of their Ascend collection properties are now kind of the highest end properties in that destination. So you see some luxury there. But where they've really kind of upgraded is that they've enhanced their partnership with Preferred Hotels and Resorts. Now that is a collection of independent luxury properties. So you can use your choice points on those kind of boutique hotels. And when we did our research, now Preferred has its own rewards program, but when we did our data collection, you actually had more choices booking with choice points than you did through Preferred's own program.
Wow.
So the availability on the Preferred program was less than with Choice. So that was kind of an interesting little bit.
That is fascinating. I am curious, when you say that we're earning a free night with Choice by staying 9 nights, is this because we're accumulating enough points to cash in for a free night? Or is it like a free night certificate that can be used up to a certain level?
This is just earning enough points to redeem it for a free night. So I know there are programs like World of Hyatt has the Brand Explorer program.
Yes.
Where you get a free night. But no, what we're talking about here with our calculations is how quickly you can accrue enough points to redeem a free night.
Okay. So realistically, we're after those 9 nights of accrual, we're probably talking about redeeming for more of a moderate end of the spectrum, not so much these Ascend brands or anything like that.
Right. Yes. So we actually average out the lowest cost room that you can book with points and the highest cost room that you can book with points. So we do factor in some of those higher level rooms and then get an average that way. So it does, to some extent, incorporate those more luxurious properties too.
Okay, that's great to know.
I'm wondering about sweet spots around the world. So we did hear for some people that in Scandinavia, Norway, there's some great opportunities for using the Choice program. Are there any other areas just around the globe where there happens to be a good footprint for Choice or a really great opportunity to earn some nice trips on maybe on a budget, on a lower points? I know sometimes some of our favorite hotels over in Asia, you can get some really beautiful properties for a really low number of points. So any sweet spots that you guys found?
Yeah, so I will say that our research is primarily for travel in the U.S. That's kind of our biggest base. So where we see it in the U.S. is the south, southern states. So cities like Atlanta, Charlotte, D.C., Houston, you're seeing rooms at about 8,000 points per night, and a lot of them. So most of those cities had 20 plus options there. So that's really, you know, if you're traveling to see family at any of those destinations, Choice is going to be a really great option. But to your point, it can surprise you the good deals you can find around the world. So we looked at Paris rooms, for example, notoriously expensive destination, but they had a room for 8,000 points there as well. So,
wow.
Yeah, don't count it out if you're looking to go to Europe, especially for Choice.
That's incredible. Do you recommend that people have the Choice branded credit card to maximize this program, earn the benefits quicker? And what are your thoughts on their card offerings? I do know that I heard a couple years ago they were offering these cards with something closer to 100,000 points for a sign-up bonus. I believe when I checked a couple of weeks ago, it looked like it was coming in around 50 or 60,000. So I don't know if you know if these larger sign-up bonuses come back regularly, but what are your thoughts on the credit card program overall?
You know, and this is kind of my strategy for credit cards in general. I think that if you are going to be loyal to that brand, you know you're going to stay in Choice properties at least a few times a year. I definitely think it can be worth it to look into the credit cards. Choice's entry-level card does not have an annual fee, which is nice. It also gives you gold status, which is where you're going to see those nice perks that I already talked about with the early check-in, late checkout, room upgrades. So without paying an annual fee, you're going to get that status level with that credit card. You also earn 5 points per dollar versus, I think it's just 1 point per dollar normally through Choice when you book through Choice. Now, I will say, as I mentioned, you need to make sure you're going to be loyal to that program, right? You don't need to have 25 travel credit cards because then it can get a little more challenging to track, to manage, and to figure out your payments and all of that. If you're paying premiums on them, then you're going to obviously negate any benefits that you're getting. So,
100%.
I want to point out too for everybody that a lot of the transferable point currency cards do transfer to Choice. So earlier, Joanna mentioned American Express. That's a 1-to-1 ratio. Capital One Miles, 1-to-1 ratio. But what the bank that really shines, if you want to get into the Choice world more and think you might be staying at their properties more, is really Citi. Because with the Citi Strata Premier card, it's actually a transfer ratio of 1-to-2. Mm-hmm. And even with the Citi Double Cash card, it's 1-to-1.5. So your points really will go further, if you want to stay at Choice properties and you still want a transferable points currency card, maybe you don't want to niche all the way down to just a Choice card, then Citi is probably the bank you want to look at and research a little bit more and then dive into that world. So we're going to move on from Choice, but I wanted to throw that out there in case anyone wants to be researching more if Choice is kind of, and we're budget travel here. So a lot of times we stay wherever's the cheapest. We don't always recommend kind of going all in with one loyalty program because sometimes that doesn't serve you well. Staying just wherever is the cheapest on any given day, any given city, well, it will truly save you more money. If you want all the loyalty benefits, that's when you think about, is it worth it to me to just niche down to one hotel program? But the program that came in second place, which is another surprise, is the Wyndham Rewards program. So tell us, what did you love and what scored the Wyndham's program high enough to earn that number two spot?
Absolutely. So like Choice, a really strong rate of earning until you reach that free room. So they have a similar earning rate of 9 nights on average before you accumulate enough points to redeem a room. Wyndham has an enormous network also, which really works in its favor too when you're factoring in the network size. And then Wyndham's benefits are not amazing. I will point that out. I know that's a point that a lot of people make. You know, their status is not going to give you the best perks right away. You can take, I think it's up to 40 nights before you even get room upgrades, which is a little bit rough. But they do have something really nice for the casual traveler, and that's the rollover nights. So A lot of programs offer this rollover, but Wyndham is one of the only ones that does it for entry-level members. So even if you don't reach that very first status level, your points roll over to the following year to kind of give you a head start and maybe give you a chance of achieving status the following year, which is a nice little thing for them.
That is a great perk. And I want to point out to everybody, we haven't talked about Wyndham in a while, but Wyndham has the Vacasa properties that you can actually use your rewards points to stay in more Airbnb style family properties rather than hotel rooms, which is very, very cool for larger family travelers.
Yeah, that's a great point. Wyndham also offers a lot of all-inclusive options too, and you can use points on those, which even if you're just getting away with your spouse and not your whole family, that can be a really good option to save your points up for sure.
Yes, we love the opportunity to do all-inclusive properties. So that is excellent to point out for sure. What are some of the brand names of their all-inclusive properties with Wyndham?
So Wyndham, the two biggest brands are the Viva brand and the Grand Palladium brand that you can look for all-inclusive options. Now, they're typically in the Caribbean, Dominican Republic, Jamaica, and the Bahamas. So if you're looking for a tropical getaway, that's a good choice.
That sounds amazing. Take me back to a beach right now. Before we move on, I want to let everybody know that Citi Thank You Rewards and Capital One transfer to Wyndham. So you guys, we just did a little mini episode on Citi, on their new partnership now with American Airlines. So those Citi cards are becoming more and more valuable. You've got a full vacation here with some AA flights and either a Wyndham or maybe a Choice Hotel. That card is very, very quickly making itself far more desirable in the world of points and miles. So all of these big changes are a lot of fun. Okay, let's move on to the third place program, which is our personal favorite. We are big, big Hyatt loyalists here. It's hard not to be with some of the value you can get out of their points. We were actually fascinated to see them in that third spot and not a little bit higher up, maybe just because they're first in our hearts. But what would they need to do? What would you need to see from them in order to grab the top spot? Does that have a lot to do with how small their footprint is?
Yes. So that's a really great point. So Hyatt is one of the smaller programs, just under 2,000 properties with Hyatt. So in addition to looking at the sheer number of properties available within the program, we also look at how many there are available to book with points at the time of our data collection. So we look about 3 months in advance. And this year when we looked, Hyatt did have quite a bit fewer options in booking with points than Wyndham or Choice. So that definitely factors into it as well. But Hyatt, like all other brands, is constantly acquiring new brands, constantly changing. So I could definitely see them building up a little bit and maybe making some changes.
One thing we all love about Hyatt is their fixed award chart. So they have off, you know, peak time pricing, and then they have off peak or high pricing. I don't know if that factors in at all, but from a consumer standpoint, we really love that aspect of their program versus the dynamic pricing that changes all of the time. I don't know. I'm thinking that doesn't matter, does it?
Well, it definitely does factor in because, you know, when we look these rooms up, those that are using more dynamic pricing are typically just going to require more points in general, right? So when you look at Hyatt, that is one thing that we love about it too, is those higher end properties, the Park Hyatts, you know, they're averaging about 45,000 points a night, which is very, very reasonable compared to when you look at Hilton or Marriott and their top rooms. I mean, they're millions of points, in the millions. So it's really wild how reasonable Hyatt looks in comparison. And that definitely does factor in too.
I'm going to circle back a little bit because we didn't ask this question, but both Choice and Wyndham are dynamic points pricing, right? It has to do with the cost, dollar cost per night, and not any kind of a fixed award chart.
I believe so, yes. And, you know, it just goes to show, though, that those brands are still keeping their rooms relatively low in cost and points. So that's really where they're doing well.
Yes, This is really exciting. And I do want to let everybody know, guys, we will be digging into a very choice-based destination episode, talking about a whole overseas Scandinavia trip that was largely focused on Choice Hotels. So be looking forward to that in the next couple of months, because I think that's going to be really interesting. We are going to try to start featuring more of these other brands of hotels, even though we love Hyatt and we will always love Hyatt. It is good to be expanding our horizons, especially as things change, and especially just because of how well this program did in these rankings.
Were there any other hotel programs on the list that made big moves in the past year to improve their rankings? Because you do the rankings every year. So I would imagine there's some consistency, some brands that are always at the top or always lower down, but which hotel chains really made moves this year?
Yeah. So other than Choice, which moved from number 4 all the way to number 1 this year, it was pretty consistent for all the other brands. There is one, SLH Club, shifted up slightly in the rankings. Now, this is a kind of a boutique little brand, so they don't have very many properties, and they're quite expensive, which kind of makes it difficult to earn enough for a free night. But some of those boutique brands, SLH Club, Leaders Club, Preferred Hotels, they offer some really awesome benefits, even if you're an entry-level member. So even if you've never stayed at one of their hotels before, you can get nice perks like free breakfast even with Leaders Club, free room upgrades and things like that. So it's definitely worth checking those brands out. But yeah, to your question, there really wasn't a ton of shifting going on in our rankings.
There were actually a few in this list that we had never heard of, which, as people who podcast this kind of content for, I was going to say for a living, for a partial side job, we put a lot of hours into this, guys. That's all you need to know. But we were surprised to still be hearing names of programs that we hadn't heard before. We were actually wondering if the SLH had anything to do with the Amex small luxury hotels collection. Are those things related, or are they completely different?
Yes. So Small Luxury Hotels is the brand of, it's just a group of boutique properties. So they're still kind of independent properties on their own. They're not under a big brand like Marriott, obviously, but they kind of grouped together in the Small Luxury Hotels Club, just so that you can, they are one and the same.
Good to know. That was a question I had while we were doing that episode. So you are the perfect person to ask. I guess I could have Googled it, but I forgot. So now we're just bringing it all up. So we know that you guys also ranked the airlines, which we were not surprised, I think, to see Alaska taking that top spot. We are big Alaska fans. It was very fun to have that loophole for just a minute where we could get our American Express points over to Alaska. Sadly, that is over. But what other elements of travel do you guys rank?
Yes. So we basically cover anything you can imagine. So we rank hotels in a bunch of different destinations across the US, Europe, Caribbean. We rank cruises. So we rank cruise lines, and then we go into detail about different cruise ships within each line. And then we rank vacation destinations as well. So our lists cover everything from the best places to visit in South Carolina to the best family vacations in Europe. So if you're looking for some inspiration, there's pretty much, we pretty much cover everything in that term.
I love to hear it. I do have to know who came out at the top for cruises.
You know what? Cruises, our new ranking is actually coming up in October. So we're really excited about that. My colleague Nicola has that. We have actually a variety of categories in the cruises. So we have best cruise lines for families. I'll give you one guess who came out on top there.
Carnival, or maybe Royal Caribbean.
But Disney, actually. Disney,
are you cruises. Serious? Yeah, I don't know any families that can afford Disney cruises. So that is not on my radar at all. I just think of Carnival and Royal Caribbean as far as being like the most budget-friendly and kid-filled places. There's so many kids on those ships.
Yes.
Disney
Best cruise lines for the money is Celebrity, which is under Carnival. And then we have best cruise lines for couples, which is Viking right now. They have got a lot of nice romantic river cruises. So
Amazing. Okay. Well, that's fine. I am notoriously,
I am notoriously not a cruiser and scared of cruises, but I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I've had some friends that did Mediterranean cruises and they said that is where I should look to start because you can basically see land from where you are at all times and you just go down to all these ports. You don't have to ride trains from place to place. You still see cities. They say the only drawback is if you have a really incredible ship with lots of fun activities, you don't spend a lot of time on the ships because you go from port to port to port. So the fun level, I think my kids want to do a cruise just because at cruise ports, you know, when we've been in Puerto Rico or the Bahamas, they see these cruise ships coming in with all the water slides and go-kart tracks and ridiculous things that they have on them. And I guess a Mediterranean cruise wouldn't get to access those things quite as much. But I think if I got brave enough to do one, that might be a good starting point for me.
Yes, I think that it's a good balance, right? You don't have those long days at sea, which seem like it could be really nice for you. But yeah, the trade-off is that you wouldn't have as much time on the ship. But if you're looking to see a lot of different destinations at once, that's a great option. I was the youngest person by far on this river cruise, but I did a river cruise down the Danube a few years ago, and it was a blast. It was so relaxing, so peaceful. You basically aren't on the water that much because the destinations are so close together, but I got to see so many places. And there were tons of small towns in Germany that I never would have thought to stop in. So that's another option, too, if you don't want the big, big cruise ship.
I'm going to need Viking River Cruises to sponsor this podcast and send me and you, Joe, on an exploratory
we got it.
River cruise. I get along well with the elderly. They like me. It's my demographic. So I think we would fit right in, Joe.
I agree completely. I like to be in bed at 7:30. So I volunteer as tribute for this Viking River Cruises. Also, I'm going to need somebody to come up with a really good way to start covering cruises with points because that is still a pretty difficult thing to do well. So once a cruise line comes up with a fantastic rewards program where we can maybe be transferring in from some of our bigger banks, I will be all over it. Same with train travel. Like these are things that I'm really, really hoping for in the future.
Yes. And I think Carnival, I believe it starts next year, but I think Carnival is starting a rewards program pretty soon. So we'll have to see how that does. Obviously, a lot of the hotel and airline programs now, you can either earn points on cruises or use them. Like you said, it will take a lot of points to cover a cruise, but those are some options until we see some better programs.
For sure. There are ways to get them for zero out of pocket. You can travel, purchase a race with your Capital One miles, but the value is not quite there like transferring to some of these great hotel programs like Hyatt. So talk to us about just you and yourself. What was the last travel credit card that you personally applied for?
Yes. So actually, I know we've talked a lot about Capital One. I just signed up for the Capital One Venture Card. I historically have been all in on Chase, Chase Sapphire. But, you know, for two reasons. One, in looking at my spending, you know, with kids, with owning a home, the bulk of the money that I'm spending is not in those bonus categories, right? Of travel, of restaurants. So I had kind of just a gap in where my spending was and the earning. And Capital One, you earn 2 points, of course, on every purchase, which is a nice perk for those everyday costs that just somehow keep adding up. And then another reason too, you know, with recent changes with Chase, you know, I don't want to have all my eggs in one basket, as you can imagine. So I think diversifying right now might be a good idea with, you know, changes I think are imminent for all these programs. So
yes, we do love to encourage a little bit of a diversity in people's points portfolios, especially because changes are always happening, especially because we want you to be maximizing those earning categories. Maybe if you don't have it already, maybe the next horizon for you is the Amex Gold with the 4x on groceries, because, you know, we know how kids can eat. It is wild. The snack bucket must always be full.
See, I'm waiting for the credit card that gives me a good value on wholesale because we're a Costco family and we need those points.
Honestly, it is so frustrating to me. My Costco card is my Chase Inc. Unlimited. That's 1.5 points on everything because it's so frustrating that they only let you use a Visa. My Capital One is a MasterCard. It's so sad. So yes, I am also waiting for that category. It is so, so valuable.
You guys just need to come over to Aldi World with me, and then you can get 4x points on your groceries.
Look, I love Aldi. I do. But Costco beats them for me in produce, in, you know, in paper products for the house. And if you have kids who eat a ridiculous amount of protein bars, you got to get those at Costco. Okay? The bulk snacks, the Aldi doesn't beat them. They don't.
Agree to disagree. Okay, Elizabeth, so where are points taking you next for pleasure? I know you travel a lot for work. You cover a lot of destinations for work. But just for you and your family, where do you hope to travel on points and miles next?
Yeah, so I'm very excited. My sister and I are actually going to Copenhagen. I know we've been talking about Scandinavia a lot. So I found an amazing deal with points. I'm in Indianapolis. And basically, the cost of this flight to Copenhagen was about the points equivalent of flying to Atlanta. So I was like, well, we're going, obviously. So I'm calling it an extreme weekend getaway. I don't know if you've seen the trend of the extreme day trips where people are like flying to Europe for one day and then flying home.
I love it. I'm on board with it.
One day, I'm not.
Yeah. One day is too short. I'm not that aggressive, but we have 3 days in Copenhagen, which I think will be nice. We both have kids. She has 4 kids and I have 3. So getting away is like, we can't do weeks at a time.
Yep.
So we're just seizing the moment. We're going to do it mostly for pastry eating, I think, is our biggest goal.
That sounds incredible.
We have been teasing this idea. Mary Ellen and I am doing a weekend in Paris for my 35th birthday because we also have kids and jobs and can't go anywhere ever. And it's like, well, maybe we just go for the weekend and come back. Why not? Who says we can't do that?
Right. Especially if you find a deal that works out. I mean, I feel 0% bad about not spending a week there because I'm not spending that much on the flight. So
yeah. You got to tell us what airline. Is it a direct flight from Indianapolis? Surely not. Surely you have to connect.
We have a connection in New York. It's actually Delta Airlines, which I used to live in Atlanta. So racked up a ton of those miles and I still have some piled up. So yeah. So they actually have some. So this is actually kind of a nice tip. I know a lot of people see like flight deals and kind of think it's a scam because it's like, is it really ever a deal if an airline's advertising a deal? But Delta and a few other airlines will have occasional flight deals where it's just like kind of sometimes they're decent, but this one happened to be really strong. So if you just look them up and go to their website, you can usually, if you don't have a destination in mind, you can kind of find a good deal and go where it takes you.
Okay. I love this. This is going to be so fun for you guys. I also like to travel with my sibling because I have a husband who doesn't love airplanes. So I love to get a little bit of sibling travel in there a couple times a year if I can. So that's going to be such a fun time for you guys.
Yes, I'm very excited.
Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for spending your time with us today. Thank you for reaching out to the podcast to share the U.S. News rankings for this year. We would love to have someone from U.S. News back when those cruise rankings come out for the next year, and we will dive into that, talk all about it. I think people are constantly wanting more information on cruises, and so we would love to get it to them.
Absolutely. I'm sure Nicola would love to join you both. She's also a mom. Of a little one.
Well, that is what we love here. We have the large majority of our listeners are moms. And so this is kind of a sweet spot for moms. We love teaching moms how they can travel better with their families. And thank you for coming on and sharing all this with us because this really helps empower all of them to travel better, travel smarter, travel for less out of pocket. So we hope that you have a great rest of your week. And thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much. Nice to meet you both.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com and we would be happy to walk you through a free card consultation. That's also a great place to send us all of your comments and questions. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.